We just thank you for freedom, that we're able to come here this morning, that we're able to look at your word in its entirety. We thank you for giving us your scripture, your word, your promises that have been fulfilled for ages and ages, and they will be for ages to come. We thank you for giving us clarity. We thank you for giving us the tools and the roadmaps to be able to see what it is that you are doing, to be able to see that you are the one true God, that there is no other God other than you, because what you say would happen has happened. What you say will happen yet. We get to see all these pieces put together, and that gives us no doubt that you are real. So we thank you for giving us these scriptures that are so old, yet so real, and so raw, and honest, and authentic, that we are able to look at you in your entirety, and we just ask this morning that you do just take this over this morning, that you don't allow me to stumble, that you allow all of the different things in my head right now that are like fireworks going off, that you can just control them, that you may just speak your truth, that you may just use me as your vessel, and your spirit may speak, not me, that it's nothing that I know or that I can find any different than anybody else, or that this is no new revelation of anything, but this is just the truth that your word speaks. This is not something that gives us some special knowledge or upper hand against anyone else, because everybody else has the opportunity to see it in the truth of your word as you speak it and you wrote it. So we just thank you for that. We ask that you just put your hand upon the little ones downstairs as they continue to speak of prayer, and how they could speak to you and how they do speak to you, and what the importance of prayer looks like and what it is, and that they may just build upon that to be able to help their relationship with you and just let that grow. And we just want to lift up the Denis family before your throne, that you may just comfort them, give them peace, allow them to just use this opportunity to speak your truth and your glory to somebody. Everybody has that opportunity to do when somebody's hurting, and we just pray that you can work through that family and just wrap your arms around them. And we just, again, want to lift up the nation of Israel, as you command us to do, is to pray for them people, your nation of Israel that you've selected to play such an important part of history, that you've told us to pray for them, to bless them, to just remember them. And that's what we do this morning, is that we just lift them up to you, to encourage them, to obviously just open their eyes to who Jesus is, and just give them the strength to continue to fight and know that you are fighting alongside them. And we just again ask that your will may be done this morning. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Alright, so we're going to look at what is referred to as the Abrahamic Covenant. Some of you may have heard that. That is in whole in what we are going to look at this morning. And there's going to be multiple different portions of that. Obviously, we have the nation of Israel. We're going to look back at basically what the purpose of Israel is. We're going to go clear back to Noah and Noah's sons after the flood, to where Israel was then, to Abraham, to Isaac and Ishmael, and to basically to where we were at today. So we're going to go, I like to start after the flood, because we go back to Adam and Eve. With the flood, a lot of things were wiped out and different, obviously. So the human race more or less started again from Noah and his sons, and that's what we're going to look back to today, and where we will start at. So we're going to look at Israel this morning. We'll look at Noah. We'll look at Abraham. And the biggest thing that we have today, and that's always been an issue in the Middle East, is the land. That's what we're going to look at. So we'll cover the land and say, okay, what is everybody fighting for? If everybody's fighting over land, why? What is the land supposed to be? Who was it promised to? Why are they fighting for it? Why is it mine versus theirs? Why is their attitude? And why is that chaos always revolved around the land? And that's what we'll pull out this morning to see. So we'll start with Israel. God chose the nation of Israel to be the people through whom Jesus Christ would be born. Okay, John 3:16 obviously tells us that God was going to send his son to save the whole world. that would be done through Jesus Christ. So God first promised the Messiah after Adam and Eve's fall into sin, which takes us back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God spoke to Satan as the serpent, and he said that you will be cursed, that Jesus will come in, the Messiah will come in. That's the first mention of the Messiah in Scriptures. Clear back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is where God starts and tells us the plan throughout the Bible that all of this moral decay, all of this evil in this world will take a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. So it starts there. God later confirmed that the coming Messiah would come from the line of Abraham. Okay, so we're looking at Israel. If God is going to say, I'm going to have my lineage, I'm going to have this Savior come, we're going to have a nation that he's going to come from. Why did God choose to do that? I don't know. That's how he chose to do it, and that's what he lays out for us today when we're going to look at. So God later confirmed that the coming Messiah would come through Abraham, and that is Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. So if you want to follow along, if you're there, now the Lord had said to Abram, and you're going to notice we say Abraham, that came after when he named Sarah and Abraham. He renamed him after Isaac. So for now, God is going to refer, and we're going to look at Abram. So now the Lord had said to Abram, so Abram is Abraham, okay? Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, how are all the families of the earth going to be blessed? From the Messiah, from Jesus. That's the only way that we are blessed is through Jesus. That's it. So here is our promise that he gives, that from Abraham, the seed from Abraham will come, Jesus Christ will come, therefore that is the blessing on the entire world, which matches up with John 3:16. So Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason why God chose Israel to be his special people. God did not need to have a chosen people, but he decided to do it that way. Right? Jesus had to come from some nation of people, and God chose Israel. And by choosing Israel, here's the part of our key, our points. God designated land for them to occupy to carry out the plan that he had made. Right? If we're going to have a nation, if we're going to have a people, to carry out this plan, we got to have a land. We can't have a nation without land, right? So this is the beginning of it all. Clear back to Genesis chapter 3. The promise of the Messiah coming from Abraham, we have to have a place to start. This place to start requires land. God's reason for choosing the nation of Israel was not solely for the purpose of producing the Messiah. God's desire for Israel was that they would go and teach others about him. Another key that you need to hold on to with the nation of Israel. What is the purpose of it? To teach others about him. How are they doing that today? Well, the majority of the nation of Israel doesn't even believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Okay? So keep all that stuff. We're going to build on all this. So God's desire for Israel was that they would go and teach others about him. Israel was to be a nation of priests, prophets, and missionaries to the world. God's intent was for Israel to be a distinct people, a nation who pointed others towards God and his promised provision of a Redeemer, a Messiah, and a Savior. For the most part, Israel has what? Failed that. We look at Israel today. Just like I said, they don't even believe Jesus Christ was the Messiah. They crucified the Messiah that God sent. Through all that lineage that was proven, they crucified him. Okay? So how are they going to be a good witness when they don't even believe Jesus was the Messiah? Does that mean that they have failed on that task? That means they're not doing probably a very good job at witnessing to the world about the salvation through Jesus if they don't even themselves believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Right? So what happens? Enter the church age. Enter us. God brought the mystery of the church. Remember, we've covered this all through Matthew. We've looked at the mystery when that was brought up. What is the mystery? Because to them, they didn't understand the Holy Spirit. Before the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was not indwelling believers as he is today. As soon as we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That was a mystery to them. They could not put their mind around that concept, because how did they know, rather than Jesus walking on the earth with them all prior to that, how did they know that they had contact with God? God would speak to him, just like we're going to see different times he speaks to Abraham, and how he spoke to Noah, and how he would speak through the prophets. There was no Holy Spirit on the earth prior to Pentecost other than individual little things that God chose him to do. So that was a mystery. They couldn't comprehend that. What do you mean God's going to be indwelling? The Holy Spirit's going to be indwelling in all of us. What do you mean? How do you grasp that? So to them it was a mystery. So often that in the writings of that, they refer to it as a mystery. So God brought the mystery of the church age in at Pentecost to fulfill the need of the evangelizing that was lacking. Because what was Israel doing? Crucifying Jesus. They weren't evangelizing. They were crucifying him instead. So God says, I have a void. Here I have, and we're going to look at this, here I have all of this moral decay and all this ugliness and all this evil in this world, and I brought a Savior into this world to be able to take care of that ugliness, to save people from that evil and that ugliness, but the people that I chose to do it are not doing their job. That's why you and I are here today. That's why the church, as Jesus refers to it, is here. Is to be able to take the place of Israel. We had the dispensations that we handed out, and so there's plenty of copies yet that kind of walks through just overall history of different of kind of a timeline. And part of that is the church age, to when Israel didn't do that, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come down, the church was born. You can take, if you write notes, John chapter 15, 26 through 27. John 16:13, Acts 2:16 through 21 are the verses that correlate the church age, the Holy Spirit come down to be able to take the place of Israel. So after the rapture of the church, okay, and that's 1 Thessalonians 4:17, is the rapture of the church, Israel will be restored into being the people God uses to reach the world again. So basically, they're on the bench. This is how to look at it. If you look at it in a game, they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And we're going to look at that. Okay? So God took them and set them aside and said, I still need in this evil world, I need somebody to proclaim the truth. You guys are not doing your job. I'm going to take you out of the game. I didn't disown you. I didn't fire you. I didn't do whatever. I just set you aside for now. The church age is going to come in, and you look at the evangelism that after the day of Pentecost that has happened throughout the entire world. It's been good. Still not great, but it's been good. What he's going to do at the rapture when the church is gone, he's going to bring back in the nation of Israel. Okay? And that is Revelation chapter 7, verse 4 through 8. The 144,000 Jewish people. Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 through 13 speaks of the two witnesses. So they're going to go through after the rapture, after the church is gone, and they're going to take, you think of something crazy, how unreal they're going to be with 144,000 people going to proclaiming the name of Jesus, how big that's going to be. The whole church age started with 12 apostles. And look at where it's at today. So what do you think is going to happen with 144,000? It's going to be a massive revolution, if you will. A revival of the people. The problem is, they're going to be doing that during the tribulation period. Okay, so during the tribulation period, there will still be opportunities for people to know who Jesus was. That is the result of the 144,000 and the two witnesses that are going out and proclaiming the name of Jesus. So, however, God's ultimate purpose for Israel, that of bringing the Messiah into the world, was fulfilled perfectly in the person of Jesus Christ. So God's plan was still perfect. It was still fulfilled. Okay, we can look at the lineage of Jesus. We know Jesus was the Messiah. So we know that God's purpose ultimately was fulfilled. It's just Israel didn't play necessarily the part God intended them to play in that part, other than the lineage side of it. Okay? So that's about Israel. Noah. We're going to look at Noah and say, why are we going to look at Noah when we're talking about Abraham and the nation of Israel? Noah is the ark. What are we bringing Noah into this for? Because like we mentioned earlier, you look at Noah was the recreation of the human population. Okay? Genesis, and you can turn there, chapter 9, you're in 12, so flip back to chapter 9. You can read 18 through 27. So chapter 9, verses 18 through 27. Now the sons of Noah, who went out of the ark, were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham was the father of Canaan. Okay, important part when we look at geographical locations. Canaan. That was a boy from Ham, okay? But remember that name. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated. And I find it interesting that when they're giving that heritage, they purposely say that Ham was the father of Canaan. They don't tell you in that verse what the other ones had, right? Which you can find later, but right there it doesn't. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. So he's laying in his tent, passed out naked. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on their shoulders, they walked backwards so they did not see their dad, and they laid the blanket over top of him, covering up his nakedness. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Okay. What's that mean? That was dishonoring on what Ham did. Instead of himself seeing his father lying there, naked, he could have covered him up. What did he go out and do? He went out and told his brothers about it. Instead of just taking care of the problem, he tried to make something of it with his dad laying there. So we have a problem. He dishonored his father. You look then, what does Noah say? Keep reading in verse 24. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Verse 25, then he said, cursed be Canaan. Well, Canaan didn't do it. His dad did it. Why are we cursing Canaan? Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. He shall be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. And may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. So we just have a distinction. We just have a curse that got put on Ham, Canaan, and the descendants of Noah. You have a blessing get put on Shem and Japheth. So we have our first distinction right here, right after the flood. We have moral problems, immorality. We have people doing right, being blessed by God. So we have our distinction. So what did Noah just prophesy? Because he just prophesied something. When he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brother. And then he said, blessed be the Lord of God, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth. So he just told a prophecy. Noah did. He just foretold how the ugliness of moral degeneration would pass down and ruin nations. Because that's just what Ham did. The act of the moral decay and the ugliness that he went out and told his brother about his drunk dad laying naked is a picture of the moral decay and the degeneration of the nations to come by the prophecy that Noah just told. So, Ham's son Canaan, who was the origin of the Canaanites. Okay? The people who occupied Palestine prior to Israel. So you want to throw that, we got a few, I don't know how well you're going to be able to see them. I can't see them. So this is the genealogy of Shem. Okay? What we're going to look at is, where does Abraham come from? Did he come from the lineage of Ham? No. He came from the lineage of Shem, who was what? He was blessed by God. Okay? So we have the one that blessed, that was a blessing by God, goes and begets Abraham, who turns around and begets Isaac and Jacob, and the lineage of Jesus comes forth from that. Where did the lineage come from? Shem, doing righteous. Ham, doing evil. So we have our evil generations. We have our evil nations. We have Jesus coming from a line that was morally correct. The purpose of Jesus, the evil in the world as a whole, Jesus didn't come from that line. the purpose, and that is Genesis chapter 10. You can jump there to look, just so you know that everything Scripture ties to. So Genesis chapter 10, verse 15, Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, the Sinite, the Arvavite, the Zermite, the Hamite, and afterward the families of the Canaanites were dispersed. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon as you go towards Gir as far as Gaza. Have you heard that word of the news today? As far as Gaza. So, why we're bringing this in is look at the moral decay of a nation. Where are they placed at? Do you remember David? What was Goliath? Goliath was a Philistine. The Philistines, Philista, was that portion along the sea that included Gaza, that included the Canaanites. So here we have what in the news today? We have Israel saying that's our land. We have the Muslim nations, the Arab nations, saying no, that's our land. Well, for starters, we look at what is the nation that is in there now? What is their attitude? What are they? They're morally degenerated. That is there. So when we get forward to where we start to see the promised land that God gave Israel, why we're bringing this up is you look at what are the influences that are in the promised land that God promised Israel. Because we're going to see that God promises Israel, the promised land, involves this area. And part of the covenant that God said was to go and get rid of and clean all these inhabitants of these lands out. Why did God say that? Because this proves us, Ham, having the Canaanites and their moral degradation as a nation, that's why God says get rid of it. We don't want to intermix with it because of what it'll do. Okay? The Canaanites. So the purpose of Noah foretelling this was not only to indicate the origin of the Canaanites, but to show the source of the moral pollution. This is what we're talking about. The Canaanites were enslaved by one of the most terrible and degrading forms of idolatry, which encouraged their immorality. Religious literature found from 1929 to 1937 reveals the worship of unmoral gods Baal and Baal, and the sacred courtesans, which are prostitutes, Anth, Asherah, and Astarte. This literature lines up with the Old Testament scriptures pointing to the religious debauchery and moral degradation of the Canaanites. Cult objects, figurines, and literature combine to show how sex-centered was the Canaanite religion with human sacrifice, cult of serpents, sacred courtesans, and eunuch priests. So here we have the moral decay of a nation. Okay? So, before Abram was even born, moral pollution has planted its roots in the land that God has designated for them. So Noah awakes and curses Canaan and said, "Blessed be the Lord of God of Shem." That's verse 25 and 26. So who is the descendant of Shem? We have this. So he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem." Okay, so now we have Abram. Abram was later named Abraham, as we know, was the one God chose to bring in the nation of Israel. God mentions this covenant he is making with Abram multiple times. Genesis 12, verse 1, we read that already. That correlates with Acts. It's brought up again in Acts, that 7, 2 through 3. Genesis 12, 7. Genesis 13, 14 through 15. And Genesis 17, verse 2. Those are multiple verses where God speaks directly to Abram to say, this is my covenant. This is my plan. This is my plan for you to be the father of many nations. Okay? In 12 verse 6, we stopped where we're reading verse 12. But start at 12 verse 3, Genesis 12, 3. "And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. That was his nephew, because Abraham didn't have any children, right, at the time. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and all the people whom they have acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then, in verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." Well, what land is he talking about? Well, where was he? Canaan. So here we have that moral decayed nation, all of that ugliness from the descendants of Ham and the Canaanites. God brought Abraham over there. And he said, "See this land? I'm giving it to you." What's included in that land? Palestine, Gaza, that area right through there. So here we have our first indication of whose land that is. Okay, and there's some maps. That one, you can flip to another one. We'll go to the last one. Okay, so Abraham, clear down on the lower right-hand corner, Ur of the Chaldeans. That's where Abraham was born. He then took off with his father up to Haran. Clear up to where the map, where that little red line curves. So that's where God spoke to him and said, keep going. Where did he go? Clear down, he ended up in Egypt. You remember the story, we're not going to cover it today, when he lied to the Egyptian Pharaoh and said that Sarah was his sister. They left and went to Canaan into Egypt because there was a famine. Then he went in there and he lied, and he ended up leaving and going back out. So there's Canaan. Okay? Gaza, you can see right in that area of land that is disputed on so many times today. So he's in Shechem at that point, and he says, I'll give you this land. So what did Abram do? If you look at verse 8, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed going still toward the south. He built an altar. That's a sign. That's a clear testimony of his commitment to God by building that altar. Okay? So a side note, because we've had this question before, how do people in the Old Testament get saved? Jesus wasn't the Messiah. They didn't know about the mystery. They knew a Messiah was coming. They didn't know how it looked. How did Old Testament people get saved? Have you ever thought that? There was no Jesus to believe in yet. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 says that Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord accounted it to him for righteousness. You believe in the one true Lord. You believe that God is the one sovereign God. Because all of back then was full of what? Idolatry, immorality, the worshiping of idols, sex goddesses, all of this stuff. And God says, I still have a way for you out of all that. To believe that the God is the one true God. That there's not all these other gods. You can't confuse God with all these other gods. There's one, and I am He. Okay? So, the next mention of land that God mentions to Abram is in Genesis 13:12. So you can turn there, 13:12 through 15. And it says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against Lot. So Sodom and Gomorrah, we all know the story of Lot. God destroys it. That's when they left Egypt. Lot had a whole bunch of herd, like you think of cattle, goats, sheep, all of that stuff. He had his own herds. Abraham had his own. They come back and they say, our herdsmen are even getting into it because they're two different nations. There's not enough land in this spot for us. Abraham, knowing that God will take care of him, says, hey, Lot, you choose where you want to go. I'll let you pick. So Lot sees this beautiful place. He takes it. It's probably no longer there today because it's probably the result of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is not one town. It's multiple towns. There was four towns that God rained the sulfur down and destroyed them. That's probably that area, so I'm guessing that it looks far different than it did when Lot says, I choose that land. Because he wanted somewhere lush, pretty, green, whatever, to be able to take all his cattle and his livestock into to be able to keep them going. So, We look and say, where are they? Canaan, we just looked, it tells us they're in Canaan. What does God say to Abraham in verse 14? And the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land that you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. So here we again have this land mentioned. This covenant that God speaks to Abraham. And he says, where are you physically at right now? You turn a circle and you look and he goes, that's yours. Well, where was he? Canaan. So that covers out to the sea and everything around. That disputed territory that's disputed today. So, the next mention of land that God mentions to Abram is Genesis chapter 15, verse 8. 15:18. So, on the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given them this land. So now we're going to get a hard look at this land. I've given you this land from the river of Egypt. Well, what's the river of Egypt that everybody knows? The Nile, right? So here we have the Nile. So the descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Okay, now, so I find it interesting when you look at where God took Abraham. Okay? Do you see what river that red line follows? Okay. Highlighted in blue on the right is the Euphrates River. Highlighted in blue to the left is the Nile River. So what did God just give Abraham? He just gave him the land between the two rivers. Okay? Now flip to the 12 tribes of Israel, where they're at. Does that look like that covers all of that? It doesn't. And that's not God's fault. That's the nation of Israel's fault. That they only inhabit what they inhabited. Okay? So you can throw, go backwards. You can throw that with the blue lines back up. So to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. So that's our key land description. Because from us today, we need to look at it and say, okay, the Palestinians and the Muslims, they are fighting the Jewish people and the nation of Israel for this land. So for you and I to have something to stand upon, don't we need to know what God says, where this land is? Whose side do I know how to choose? Yeah, I get that God's people are the nation of Israel, but I'd like to have proof before I open my mouth and say that I back these people and really know where my feet need to be cemented and solid, knowing where this land's at. Well, God just told us where that land's at. That's the land that he gave to the nation of Israel. The millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So we'll have the rapture. We'll have the 7 years tribulation. The second coming of Jesus when he comes down and conquers all and is established on earth, or he reestablishes his kingdom on earth. That will be this land. That will be all that land. You can read some things and it says it's up to 300,000 square miles. The nation of Israel today is a little over 10,000 square miles. So you have God promises his people, his nation Israel, 300 some thousand square miles of land. They're only inhabiting a little over 10,000 today. Why do you think there's a dispute? It's a land grab. So the issue we have is whose land is it? We just proved where the land is at, that God said it's Abraham's descendants that are going to get it. We now know where this land is at. We now know that there's evil moral decay and immorality in this land. But we want to know whose land this is. Who has the right of heir to this promised land? Genesis chapter 15, verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir. Well, who's he talking to? Jump up. Abraham and Sarai didn't have no kids, did they? So what they did is they adopted a servant boy. Verse 2, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? It was a slave, a servant boy. But what does God say? Is Abraham saying, you promised me all this stuff? Is it really going to go to a kid that I adopted? It's not going to be out of my own heir? It's not going to be my own blood, my own person? God says, this one shall not be your heir. But one who will come forth from your own body shall be your heir. Okay? Who did Abraham have from his own body? There's two. Genesis chapter 16. Flip there. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had been born to him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And this whole story gets ugly. Okay, we're not dwelling on this part of it today. What we're looking at is, now, God said, okay, it's going to be an heir of your own. It's going to come from your body. Okay, here we have one from his body. Hagar just conceived with Abram. So we have one. Jump down. So she flees away. And then verse 9, the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. Okay, well now here we have God saying, hang on, I'm still going to bless you. From this child, there will be multitudes of people. Does that sound like this? Is it lining up? And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. Highlight this part. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every nation. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Okay? What does that sound like? A problem child, right? What are the Arab nations today? Problem child, right? Is there a lot of them? Do they rule nations? So we had two boys. Genesis 16:11-12, the nations of Ishmael, the Arab nations. Ishmael lived in Paran, the Paran wilderness, and this is later, which is the eastern Egypt and the Sinai Peninsula. This is the Sinai Peninsula, that little piece right in there. That was the land that he was dwelling in, which included the Canaanites in the land of Philistia. So you have that triangle, plus you have that whole part next to the sea. So then we say, okay, do the Palestinians have right to this yet? Because that's where he's inhabiting. Just because he's inhabiting in it, remember, it doesn't mean that God left it to him. Okay? We're in between them two rivers. That's where he's inhabiting. Genesis chapter 17, verse 2 through 8, God again sets his covenant, and Abram is named Abraham. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make the nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Does that sound different than what was promised to Ishmael? Sounds a little different, right? I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger. All the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So here, since we're out of time, we're jumping to our answer. Do we have Ishmael? Do we have Isaac? What does God say? You're in 17, look at 17:15. 17 verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed, and he said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. What was Abraham's attitude? Ishmael was still a son. It tells us later that he's his beloved son. So he's like, I'm 100 years old, God. My wife's 90 years old. Why don't you just let us have Ishmael as this covenant promise? So Abraham, that's what he says. But then what does God say in verse 19? Then God said no. And this is the issue of the Muslims today and the Jews today. That word right there, no. That is the fight over the land. The word no. No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful, and he will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes. I will make him a great nation, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac. So God, I'm still going to take care of him, God says. I'm not just going to kick him out the door. I'm still going to take care of him, even though he's a result of what you tried to fix. Because I told you it'd be a covenant and you got impatient. So instead of waiting on me, you had this maidservant. You thought you had a good idea. Look at the thorn in the side that good idea that Abraham and Sarah had has been to the entire world for so many years. But God says, I'll still take care of him. Are the kids up here? Are they? There's more. There's a lot more. We'll have the kids come up. We can continue on with this, or if you're satisfied with that answer, knowing that we just read the answer, we can pick up in Matthew again next week, or we can revisit this. And because that's just gives us the answer the quick, easy way, but there's way more when you scratch the surface of it. So if you want to